Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are so happy to have you joining us for another week of asking the question, what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it? It's funny, I keep saying asking the question and then I'm like, that's technically two questions. So asking the questions, what is God saying to us and what are we doing about it? And we're doing that through diving into God's word. And as we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks, we are still in the Easter season. Yes, the Easter octave is over, but we are still in the season of our Lord's resurrection, living in the joy of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been diving into passages that show us what does that mean for our life? What does that look like for our life? All of these different things. And last week, we were in 2 Peter, and we've been in the Gospels, and the Lord is taking us through the readings of the church, through different sections of scripture to show us what does the risen Lord look like active in a Christian life. That the church, as we see in this time, as we're reading through the Gospels, as we're reading through the readings in Mass, as we're diving into, we're going to dive into a little bit of 1 John today, because John, we hear obviously John's Gospel, and then we see John writing the book of Revelation, but he has 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John really sharing, you know, what he kind of picked up from this time with the Lord. And so we're going through all of these different places that the church gives us, that tradition gives us, that God's word gives us to say the church was meant to live in God's resurrection power. The church was birthed from God's resurrection power. The church, as a regular way of life, each and every believer is meant to live in the joy of the resurrection. Amen. And so that's what we've been talking about, and that's what we're going to continue to talk about. And so I want to open us in a prayer, and we've been doing here and there the Psalms to open us up to the Lord in a particular way. And here I want to start with Psalm 100 and build on that this week. So I want to just exalt the Lord and magnify the Lord that as we begin this day, and already I'm sitting here, I'm recording this, I've had a crazy day. I feel like I've had a million frustrating conversations already. You know, I got up and I was sitting in my bed with my coffee, and I was like, I'm going to have such a good prayer time. And then it just felt like these arrows started to come and these things in life that I had to take care of. I don't know if you ever relate to that. If you're like, yes, I'm with the Lord and this is so great. And then you go into your life and you're like, wow, this day is just the worst, you know, or there's just so much going on in this day. But and that's honestly where I'm at mentally today, of just being like, wow, like I spent this good time with the Lord. And then there's all these things coming at me that I now have to choose how to deal with. And they're tempting me to be in discouragement. They're tempting me to be in despair. They're tempting me to live in hurt about situations. And that's why as we pray, I want to get our minds right with exalting the Lord and glorifying the Lord, because no matter what is going on today, whether it's a deep, deep depth of hurt or whether it's the best day ever and you're still milking your Easter candy that you got in an Easter basket and you had a piece this morning and you're feeling the joy of the resurrection, wherever you're at, what is demanded of us and what we can give to the Lord is honor and glory and praise. And so that's how I want to start today. That's how I want to start this week. So if you'll join me in prayer, we're going to read Psalm 100, and then we're going to dive into 1 John 1 and see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Lord, we thank you that no matter our circumstances, no matter what we feel, that we can enter your courts with thanksgiving because your steadfast love and your faithfulness endures for all generations. That you are God, you made us, we belong to you, and we just, even if it's hard, Lord, or if it's easy, whatever we're feeling today, we step into that reality that we belong to you. We are your people, we are your sheep, and your love endures forever. Amen. I know we've talked about, as we read the Psalms, kind of taking a line from the Psalms and just being able to put that into our hearts and being able to say that through the day. And just as we read that, I hope there was something that you clung onto to say, Lord, I want to speak this throughout the day. For me, it was that, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Just that line, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And so I want to encourage you to read that psalm again and take a line out of it, then particularly in this Easter season, but today, to focus it in on today and the next hour and the next 2 hours and the next 30 minutes to really like just say that over and over and over again, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Amen. All right, we are going to dive into 1 John. And again, we see we're familiar, most familiar with John because he writes the Gospel of John, and he often refers to himself. We heard this a lot in the readings through Easter. He often refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. So there's the Gospel of John. And then he also writes Revelation, but he also writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so there's a lot of key themes of 1st John that I think is important to kind of mark out, right? There's fellowship with God, there's sin, confession, and mercy. And those two are kind of the main ones. And then what springs out of those two themes is Jesus as the Son of God, love as the mark of the believer, obedience and keeping God's command, and then a final like one to the side is like assurance and testing spirits, right? And so this letter that he's sending it likely in Asia Minor, probably around Ephesus, and he wants to strengthen them in the faith against false teachers. And I want to point this out because it's amazing how much we see this as one of the purposes that one of the apostles is writing a letter to one of the churches there, right? That they've been taught by the apostles, and the apostles go away, and then the churches begin to be infiltrated with different false teachers, with different subtle false teachings. And so John is writing to this church in Asia Minor saying, this is the truth. And so heresy was a problem. And so this clarifying that Jesus is truly God and truly man, and that faith, salvation is not just a knowing, but it's faith expressed in love and obedience. And so John wants to communicate to these believers a certainty. He wants to communicate to these believers a certainty about who Jesus is and what he's done in their lives, what he's done in our lives. And so I think as we read this, this is something I want to lay as a foundation, is as we read this and receive it from John in this Easter season, as we're walking in all of the crazy circumstances of our lives, because maybe we're not like listening to false teachers. Maybe we're not going on YouTube being like, ooh, like I'm being caught by this heresy of Gnosticism, or I'm being convinced by this heresy that of Arianism, that Jesus Christ is not fully God and fully man. But one thing I think that can become a false teacher in our lives is our circumstances. And here's what I mean by that, that when we begin to go through hard things, when we begin to encounter things in our lives where we're like, oh, this is now hard to follow Jesus, when we have suffering, when evil's happening in the world in a particular way, it changes and shapes our lens of how we see God. And so if we're not careful, our circumstances and our situations and our feelings and our experiences can form our hermeneutic, can form our lens about what we believe about God more than who God says he is. And so our pain can become a teacher. Our pain can tell us, is God really good? Is God really who he says he is? Can you really trust God? Or is it worth it to avoid this temptation? Is it worth it to avoid this sin? Because our pain can begin to form and shape us and begin to teach us about who God is that differs from who God says he is. And this is why, and we're going to read this at the beginning, this is why John is trying to communicate certainty. And so as we read these first few verses, I want you to take in certainty about who God is, about who God is in your life, about who God says he is, about what you've seen, about what you've heard. So we're going to go ahead and just read 1-4, and we're going to start there, and we're going to continue into tomorrow. So 1 John 1, 1-4. I know that was a long intro, but I think it's important to kind of lay the foundation of what God wants to communicate to us. So 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we saw it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. I love this intro to 1 John 1, and it actually harkens us so much back to John chapter 1, right? He says, this Jesus, we have beheld his glory. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's what we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And then here in 1 John, John is hearkening back. He's mirroring to what he wrote in John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning. What in John chapter 1 does he say was from the beginning? The Word. The Word that was with God, and the Word that was God. And so he's saying, the Word that was from the beginning. We have heard this Word. This Word has come into our ears. This is his testimony that he's giving. He's saying that Word that I talked about, that I said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. He's saying this Word that we're talking about, we heard it. We heard this Word. But not only did we hear it, we have seen it with our eyes. So we know he's talking about Jesus, this Word made flesh. We have seen with our eyes. We have looked upon it and touched it with our hands. We grasped it. This Word came to us in human flesh concerning the Word of life. So the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of life in the Word. In Jesus, the Word. This is the first sentence. And you see here, this is why John is trying to communicate certainty, saying the Word made flesh is the Word of life. In him, all life resides. Life, that not just bios, but zoe, that God life, the Greek for life, zoe, God life, the very life of God dwells in this Word. And we have heard it. We have seen it. We have touched it. We've actually touched eternity. We've touched eternal life. This Word of life. This life was made manifest. It makes me think of, without him, nothing was made. And it said, we beheld his glory. This is John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word of life, the God from God, light from light, from all eternity, came and dwelt with us. And he's saying, church in Ephesus, church in Asia Minor, believers who will read this down the road, wherever you are at, whatever false teachers are influencing you about God, this is the truth, that the Word became flesh, the Word of life. The fullness of life existed in God's Word, and the Father spoke his final word out into the world, and we heard it, and we saw it, and we touched it, and we received it, and it changed us. That the very life of God, this is the fundamental reality about the Christian life that we're celebrating in this Easter, that God's very life has come to us, and we've seen it. And we've tasted it, and we've touched it, and we've beheld his glory as the only Son of God. And John is saying, this is the certainty with which we live. This is what we will build every single truth upon. And so, friends, God is inviting you today into a deeper certainty about who he is. Let's ask him to come and make us certain about the truth about who he is and not our circumstances. God bless you. Join us again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.